Oh, I'm touching myself tonight.
They call me Deadpool, I'm hella fast. Came to murk the bad guys and get some ass. Got blades for days, got guns galore. Got combo moves, evades and more. With bear traps and hand grenades. Pull the pistol like a maniac right in your face. Popping off caps, leave a trail of guts. Sitting on my chair, scratching my nuts. Don't stop when I shoot, full auto was on. Your ass is grass and I'm on the lawn. Hot lead to the head and I won't stop. What your crew gonna do when I hack and chop? All these bitches are prima donnas. I stuff my face with chimichangas. Tacos and beers, I was keeping it loose. Hang on for a minute while I'm dropping a deuce.
Your music choices for opening songs. Where do you find this stuff?
Welcome to Fire for Effect Radio on VETRS.com. Tune in to VETRS.com to join the chat room. You can ask some questions there. The call-in number is already posted in the description on Facebook Live or Facebook Mentions. So, yes, we're going over gun control issues tonight. And I am going to do my best. I said, let's make this show interesting.
Yes.
I am going to do my best not to use one cuss word the entire show.
No.
I'm going to try and do this in a very educated manner, a very intelligent manner, simply because I don't want anyone to try and use the excuse that his language was offensive and he couldn't get his point across without dropping an F-bomb because that hurts my feelings.
Stop it.
The reason I say that is this is a difficult issue to discuss. It brings up a lot of back and forth and a lot of valid points too. You know, I will definitely admit to that. There are a lot of good points made by anti-gun and pro-gun advocates. But to get started, I had to use the Deadpool theme song. Let's just face it. Deadpool itself was an awesome movie. It was hilarious.
Yes.
And riddled with guns. Riddled with bullets. But no one seemed to have a problem with that. No one seemed to have a problem with the fact that Deadpool is blowing people's heads off left and right. And no one says a thing.
Nope.
It's perfectly fine, which it is. It's a movie.
I do believe one camera angle went through somebody's head. Like right through it.
When he lined up the three bad guys and shot them all through the head, yes. So, let's get this started. I posted about this earlier today, and believe me, I would not bring this up if I didn't see this firsthand in the news. So, again, for everybody else, if you can tune in to VETRS.com, you can join the chat room, ask questions there. We monitor it. We monitor it.
I'm monitoring as we speak.
So, there is a writer for the New York Times, and this is what he wrote. He published a video on New York Times, which I skimmed through their Facebook page today, and you talk about the most biased news agency alive. Every article is either, there is no center ground, there is no, here are the facts, leave it up to the populace to decide. Instead, it is so slanted, you can't take a single story they publish seriously, because you can already see through like the article title, the bias shown there. So therefore, I can't take that news agency seriously whatsoever. But anyway, there was a writer for them. And I forget this guy's name, which is good because it blows my mind. I got a picture of this guy. And I posted it on the John Burke Facebook page. You can see a picture of it in the comment he left. And what is it like to fire an AR-15? Now, brace yourself. Dan, my producer, has never heard this before. He hasn't heard this quote yet.
Not yet.
It's horrifying, dangerous, and very, very loud. The recoil bruised my shoulder. The brass shell casing disoriented me as they flew past my face. The smell of sulfur and destruction made me sick. The explosions, loud like a bomb, gave me a temporary case of PTSD.
What the fuck?
For at least an hour after firing the gun, just a few times, I was anxious and irritable. Sir, turn in your balls right now.
Oh, my God.
Turn them in. You are not a man. Now, look, I get some people are not into firing guns, but let's pick this thing apart just real quick. This is what our society has turned into. This is what makes people like John Wayne and Johnny Cash look from the grave saying, good Lord, what happened to the United States of America and men? So, the recoil bruised my shoulder.
What?
We're talking about an AR-15, the civilian version of the M16. There is so little recoil in that rifle that I had a drill sergeant in basic training, my drill sergeant, took us to the range, and to show us how little recoil this weapon system had, he places the buttstock on his nuts. Excuse me, his testicles. I'm trying to be proper.
Testicles.
He places them on his testicles over his uniform and squeezes off an entire magazine to show how little recoil it has. Anyone that has ever fired an M16 or an AR-15 knows there is very little recoil compared to every other weapon system out there. All right? So the recoil bruised his shoulder. Well, Nancy, maybe it's time you kind of manned up a little bit and did some other things besides shooting weapons, because clearly it's not for you if it's going to bruise your shoulder with just such a small amount of recoil. The brass shell casings disoriented me as they flew past my face.
Oh my God. Here's a fun fact from the chat room. The 5.56 was designed for Eugene Stoner's wife because she was slightly uncomfortable with the 7.62.
The shell casings flew by my face and disoriented me.
Wait.
The smell of sulfur and destruction made me sick. The explosions, loud like a bomb, bro.
What the fuck?
Gave me temporary case of PTSD. I did not realize that you could have a temporary case of PTSD. I did not realize that was possible. I've heard of flashbacks. I understand those. But a temporary case of PTSD, that's new to me. I love that.
You know what, John? This story is bringing me back to when I was in the Boy Scouts. They put me behind that .22 and they made me shoot at that target.
And you know, it's offensive to people that I would laugh at a douchebag like this. And it's not because he's not for weapons, but this dude sounds like the biggest, I can't cuss. How do I put this without cussing?
Douche canoe.
The biggest effeminate man, I shouldn't even call him a man. And and this is going to offend a lot of people, but look, dude, you have testicles. Act like it. But instead, he tries to slant. And, you know, would any woman ever want someone like this between her legs? Maybe a feminist. Maybe somebody like that would say, this is exactly what I want. I want a man that is so in touch with his feelings, he no longer has testicles, but a mangina. A mangina. Uh-oh. And so he wrote an article again today on New York Times saying that he received a lot of emails, basically people challenging his masculinity, and not really arguing the gun article itself. Well, I'm sorry, man. You set yourself up for that. When you make such ignorant statements such as that, a temporary case of PTSD, dude, now you're trying to compare yourselves to those who deal with actual PTSD, it's mind-boggling how stupid some people can be just to get their point across. This guy is clearly anti-gun. So let's go ahead and get into the anti-gun, pro-gun argument. Me, myself. Dan, what are your stances on gun control?
I mean, to be honest with you, yeah. I mean...
Let's be honest.
Gun control, to me, being from New York City, and I'm not going to say that I have certain friends, but I have acquaintances that have contacts. Whether there's gun control or not, if I wanted to get my hands on something, I will get my hands on it. What I'd rather see... trained individuals that could actually make a difference of life or death in a situation like there was in Orlando, holding a piece and being able to control that situation a lot faster than waiting on the SWAT police to get there? Yes. You know, do the bad guys get a hold of guns? Yes. And weapons. Can they get them illegally? Yes. It just costs a little bit more money. I was going to do a documentary and raise up $3,000 and go get my hands on some stuff and show it step by step. How easy it is. All you have to do is know somebody, make a phone call, have cash. Boom. You got it. Whatever you want, whenever you want it.
This is the problem that we face now in this country, is that some people fail to understand that if a criminal has intent in his brain, that person will find a way to carry out their malicious attack on whomever their target may be. The simple fact that if they can't get to a gun, they'll get to a knife. If they can't get to a knife, they might use a car. The thing is, it's in the brain. Mm-hmm. But now look, I am pro-guns. I believe it is our Second Amendment right to have weapons to defend ourselves, not just from criminals. I'll take it a step further, but to defend ourselves against our government. Ooh. Uh-oh. That's saying a lot right there. That's saying a lot, but here's why. The government should be afraid of the people, not vice versa. And how can the government ever fear its people? Surely not if they're disarmed. If they have no way, it boils down to the almost basic barbarian instinct. If I have the ability to kill you back, you're going to reconsider coming after my weapons or what's rightfully mine. Now, I'm not saying we need to stage a coup and overthrow the government, but the government should be afraid of its people should it ever extend its boundaries. And clearly, that's not happening anymore. So no, I am for, I'll put it this way, I am for in-depth background checks. Mm-hmm. No, I don't believe anybody should be able to walk into a store and pick up a gun, because if it's a felon with, you know, prior convictions, that person has no business. You've lost the right to own your firearm because you are no longer a law-abiding citizen. You committed a felony. You know, it's just, and I know it's a gray area. I do understand that, because I know there was one issue brought up. I was on this one radio show where a guy committed a felony by, it was a marijuana charge. And so I said, do you feel like he is no longer justified in owning a gun? And it does bring up some good points. I mean, there are some, it's not black and white. It's not as simple as that for a lot of cases out there. But then again, there is not going to be anything fair across the board for every single citizen out there. And, you know, it's a case-by-case basis to an extent. But I know when I received my firearm, they did a background check on me, and I wanted them to. But again, it's kind of like, I also feel like it's good that if you have a weapon, it is your responsibility to be trained on that weapon, to be effective at that weapon. You know, in the military, when you get an M4 or when you get a machine gun, you are technically not allowed to carry that weapon until you have qualified, you've zeroed and qualified on it. Okay? And I agree with that. I don't want somebody out there carrying a weapon that does not know how to effectively use it, because guess what? You own every single round that comes out of that weapon. So if, God forbid, you are in a shootout or an active shooter scenario, you need to be able to engage accurately. And that's where the training comes into place. So it does, I do believe that there should be, you know, to conceal carry, I am for concealed carrying. I don't like carrying open. Why? Because I believe it paints a target on my back. Mm-hmm. If I was a robber or a murderer and I wanted to go in and do a shootout on whatever store facility, whatever it may be, I'm going to look for who's packing openly, and I'm going to take them out first. You've just painted a background. Now, some people will say it might deter somebody. It might not. It might and it might not. But I would rather have the element of surprise on my side should an active shooter situation occur. And my instructor, he made a very valid point. He said the more people that we have trained and proficient with concealed handguns on the streets, the more people we have to combat those who will get their hands on weapons illegally and use them with, you know, an ulterior evil motive. An evil motive. You get what I'm saying? I'm trying so hard not to cuss right now. It's very difficult. Have I cussed yet?
No. I'm keeping tallies.
I'm good. I haven't cussed yet. I'm proud of myself. Good job, John. So again, I am pro-gun. It is our Second Amendment right. And also, it also gives me the ability to anyone that comes into my house to take from me what I've earned or what I love, I am going to kill you. You are trying to steal from me. It is my right to defend myself against somebody who would use violence against me to take from me what is not rightfully theirs. And so people out there will sit there and they're going after the AR-15, calling it an automatic rifle. It's you've got Michael Moore, the biggest douchebag of all times. I haven't found one military person that likes this guy.
He's still alive.
He had Fahrenheit 9/11 movie. He's got Bowling for Columbine movie. He's got all these things. And so you bring up these examples. You bring up these examples of people going crazy with weapons. And here's the crazy thing. A lot of them where were the parents? Not in the sense of, why didn't the parents stop it? Who raised this child? A lot of it comes into parental delinquency. And it's a hard pill for a lot of people to swallow, but I believe it's true. I think a lot of how you are brought up is kind of essentially how you're going to act. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Parents, are you taking an active interest in your children's lives? And a lot of people, it's not the case. So as far as, you know, the background checks, I am for them. I am for them. If you can pass a background check, it's yours. I believe it. I believe, you know, I taught 17-year-olds how to be safe with rifles. From the M240 to the 249 to the M16, hand grenades, claymores, 17-year-old kids taught how to effectively and safely use them. Now here's the kicker. Now here's another point I wanted to bring up. The military is not allowed to carry on base, being it's considered a federal installation. But how is the military allowed to be armed to go overseas to combat, you know, insurgencies or whoever America might deem as our enemy, but yet back home they're not allowed to carry? So what you're telling me is you entrust me to carry, you know, much more expensive and dangerous equipment overseas in somebody else's country, but I'm not allowed to carry a basic handgun in my own country on base where you have people like Nadal Hassan who shoot up Fort Hood. Numerous situations. Look, just because, you know, we're back home in America, we wear uniforms, we still have terrorists at home on our shores. So wearing uniforms, just like in combat, paints a target on our back. If a zealot wants to go out there, an insurgent or a Islamic radical, or a radical in general, wants to kill somebody in the military, well, I'm going to go to the nearest military base or right off base and look for somebody in uniform. That's what I would do if I wanted to take out enemy soldiers. So again, it makes no sense to me why someone is not allowed to carry on a federal installation such as military. And I know Petraeus and McChrystal now, have you read this? Have you seen this article about those two coming together to, didn't get to read the full article. I don't think they were trying to ban guns entirely. I think it was along the lines of they were using veteran suicide as a reason to try and limit or impose gun control to a degree. Again, look, my counterpoint to this, if I want to commit suicide, I taught this class so many times, if someone wants to commit suicide, truly wants to, they're going to find a way to do it, be it gun, pill, death by cop. There are so many different ways to commit suicide. So by you trying to limit the access to firearms, look, drugs are illegal in this country, and they're everywhere. Heck, I mean, Bill Clinton himself said he smoked weed back in the day. Drugs are everywhere, but they're illegal. I mean, let's take it a step further. Right now, the leading killer of Americans, and this is just me coming from a fitness side of the house, the leading killer of Americans right now, and everybody on Facebook mentions right now, do me a favor, type in, what do you think the leading killer of Americans is today? Dan, what do you think it is? Tell me on the comments, what do you think the leading killer of Americans is today?
I'm going to say automobile accidents.
Automobile accidents. Dan says automobile accidents. Facebook, what do you say? What do you say the leading killer is of Americans today? I have obesity. Close.
You have abortion. Heart disease in the chat room.
Food. No. Well, close. Obesity. Close. Drugs. Chris Bracken. No. Heart. Obesity. A lot of people are saying obesity. Heart disease. Heart disease brought on by obesity-related issues. Hi, there we go. Linda Simbeck Anderson. Atta girl. Good job. Yes. You're absolutely right. Heart disease is the leading killer of Americans today. So with that, with the same logic we've got with some people out there, let's ban spoons and let's ban food because they are the contributing factors to obesity and heart disease, as well as other various issues out there. So instead of holding the individual accountable, we're going to instead go after the tools. That makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. We have turned from a nation of individual accountability and responsibility, and you know, this is why I'm so anti-politically correct. Because it used to be that you would be held accountable for your actions, for what you did. If you committed a murder, you were tried for that murder. If you did this, that, and the other, it was your responsibility to own up for your actions and you were held accountable. But now in today's society, in today's generation, it is no longer the case. It is now, who can I blame this on? You know, I cannot blame McDonald's for making me fat. As much as I speak out against the fast food industry, no one made you buy it, you bought it. Individual accountability no longer exists in this country. Responsibility no longer exists in this country. So rather than focus, and I hate to bring this up because God rest the souls of the Orlando shootout. I didn't want to discuss this right away because to me it's like I knew as soon as it occurred, this nation would go berserk on gun control, anti-gun control, and they didn't even have a chance to figure it all out yet. Instead, people were so ready to make a knee-jerk reaction and go after everything they could to push their political narrative. And that's what was sad about it. So, again, to me, it's saying it needs to be held to an individual accountability to that level. I should not have to pay for the actions of a murderer. Even Milo, I forget his last name, I love this guy. Milo is so anti-politically correct. He is, this is gonna blow your mind. I saw some of his videos on YouTube and I love this guy. He is a homosexual Republican who supports Trump. You talk about a unicorn. And this guy, the things he says make so much sense. I love what he has to say because he does it in such an educated manner. And it makes so much sense. So much sense. But he posted this picture on Twitter. He's sitting there, I think he was holding an AK. He's got a thing around his face, and he's holding a purse while shooting the AK. And he says, saddle up, homos. It's time to start arming yourselves because the government and society won't protect you. It's like, this guy gets it. He gets it.
Now,
and I saw it. Go ahead.
No, I don't know if, you know, along that same lines is, you know, you're right. You know, he's right. Like, think about it. Like, Florida has pretty, you know, Orlando has pretty strict gun policies. You know, imagine if, like there was a story about the Marine, I'm not going to put his name out there, the Marine that, you know, opened the doors and let everybody out. Okay. If he was packing, maybe 20 lives would have been saved.
You never know. Exactly. You know, I still can't go to a movie theater these days without feeling somewhat weird because of the movie theater shooting. So guess what? I carry, and then I feel a little bit better. It's not me going out looking for a fight. It's me being prepared should a fight come to me so I am able to defend myself and those around me. It's not me saying I'm not trying to be a gun-toting, you know, guy who's like, ah, free guns, I want to blow stuff up. You want to blow stuff up, do you, man? I don't care. If you're into shooting, do shooting. Good. That's awesome. But to me, it's along the lines of I want to be able to defend myself should someone with a malicious heart come to kill me or my family. You know, and that's what I just don't understand with some people out there. They don't seem to grasp that. So now I knew this was going to happen. As soon as this story broke, I saw the press start to spin it, and they started to try and pit the gay community against the Muslim community. And you talk about just, like getting to watch Muhammad Ali box the world's greatest, like Tyson, the biggest. It's kind of like, this is really going to happen. I was like, and it's totally, and no disrespect to Muhammad Ali or Tyson, anything like that, but it's the equivalent of going to witness that fight. You're just like, I can't believe this is happening. And so my thing was, don't let it happen. Don't let the media, and the media, in my mind, is the biggest enemy America's got.
Yep.
You talk about an organization that does not care about you. They don't care about you. They want ratings. They want to get whatever bias they have out there worldwide, because you can't tell me that the media does not have a political ploy, a political backing. So again, anything that stirs up trouble, anything that gets people's blood pressure up, if the media can grab it and then twist it and manipulate it, how do I know this? I've dealt with mainstream media. I've dealt with Fox. I've dealt with CNN. I've dealt with the BBC. I've dealt with it all. I've dealt with Good Morning Australia. I'm telling you, people, the stuff you read in the newspaper, you have to take at face value. The articles online, you've got to take at face value. They are sitting there trying to twist every single word they can to fit their narrative. There is nothing honest about the media. And that's why it's very hard to stay away from the news. Because if you want to get you to people with high blood pressure, and I've said this before, if you want to work on that along with the medication, turn off the news. The news is very stressful. The stuff they put in there, it would just, if you look at the New York Times on Facebook, if you look at all the stuff out there, I have to watch myself from time to time from what I post on my page. Because I watch a lot of these things because I like to get late-breaking stories, because we've had like active shooters on military bases, that if I'm watching it, I can post it, and I can hopefully warn people there that follow me saying there's an active shooter where you're at, hunker down, or get out of the area. But again, the news is full of just so much negativity. So, but all right, I promised callers that they would get in, they would get through, the number is posted. Do we have any callers?
We have a slew of callers.
Got a slew of callers, outstanding. Slew. So please, before we start taking callers, this is my one request, okay? Nothing racially motivated, nothing homophobic motivated. Please show some respect and don't take it to that route. I'd like to prefer an intellect. And if you disagree with my opinion, you are more than welcome to come on here and discuss it in an educated manner. I will listen to you flat out. And it doesn't mean I won't debate, but...
See, John took the political route. I'm just going to say this flat out. Don't be an asshole and a dickbag. Just 909. Welcome to Fire for Effect Radio. 909. Hello.
Yes. Hello.
You're on.
What's going on,
man? You hear me?
Yes. Yep, we got you loud and clear. What's your name?
All right. My name is Louis. I served in the 3rd Infantry Division for 4 years.
Oh.
But I just wanted... What's that?
I said, you have my sympathies.
Oh, yeah, I know. Yeah, Rock of the Morn. Tusker, 464. I wanted to make a comment. First of all, thanks for taking my call. But, you know, once a tragedy, or what everyone keeps calling a tragedy, this is going to keep happening, you know? So we shouldn't act surprised when this happens. I mean, the people that are, you know, the civilians, they're not used to this kind of brutality. But, you know, the warfighters, you know, warriors who went out there, Iraq and Afghanistan, you know, the guys that were slinging lead, you know that. You know that, the smell of blood, the cordite, you know, it just comes back to you, you know. But I also wanted to comment and say that media, they're going to push their narrative out. They're going to push their agenda out.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sensationalism is what they're selling. You know, and it's up to you to buy it or leave it. You know,
being a reporter,
it's not in their best interest to push something that's, yeah, what do you call it? It's sensationalism is actually what they want. They want the attention. They want the ratings.
Exactly.
They want to be the first ones to break the news. They want to say, hey, you know, Channel 5 or Channel 9, we're the first ones to break this story. It's up to you to buy it or leave it on the shelf.
Yeah, you're exactly right. Being a reporter used to be a sense of, you know, used to have a sense of responsibility to where you would dig deep to find the truth, to report the truth and the matter at hand, not to over-exaggerate the truth and stretch it. I've heard so many different stories about the shooting that I'm like, yo, where the hell did you get that from? Oh, I got it from...
Right.
To caveat off of that, God, I hate saying that word because officers use that word like crazy, and I got to get away from that. To expand or to elaborate even more on the point you just made, even on social media, and thank you for the call, by the way, and thank you for your service, more importantly. But even on social media, if I post something on the John Burke Facebook page, I know what and will not get hits, what and will not get shared. If you post a feel-good story, doesn't get shared, doesn't get likes, doesn't get anything. And people fail to understand something about social media. If your page does not have active participation, people will automatically unlike it through Facebook. Facebook does that. Don't ask me why it happens. But if you post something with some content, good content, that's going to attract someone, it'll get likes, comments, and shares. And then your page becomes active. And then, you know, Facebook recognizes that and doesn't unlike so much. I could show you the amount of likes versus unlikes on my page. And it's kind of like, it's just there's so much into social media marketing that a lot of people don't get that I didn't understand until after I'd done this. I was like, wow, I never knew this. I was never exposed to that kind of information. But you're right. The press is going to spin the stories that get traction, that elicit a human emotional response. Because when they do that, that's their job. Now they get ratings. But you're absolutely right. And, you know, it's funny you bring up the point. Civilians are not accustomed to the type of brutality that you saw in Orlando. Look, to the LGBT community, excuse me if I said that wrong, to the gay community, the homosexual community. You're in the spotlight right now because, you know, I hate to say this, but in some religions, they don't like you. So now, do you want to rely on the government to protect you from those that would want to kill you because of your beliefs? You are seeing what we, as you know, the military saw overseas, that people, not just for your sexuality, but before your religious preferences or lack of religious preferences, the terrorists, the insurgency, the zealots want to kill you because of that. And that's what we're saying. That's why we're pro-guns, because you need to be able to defend yourself against these people. They are here in America now. And if that does not scare you, I don't know what will. They are here in America now.
They were born here, raised here, went to school with you. They're here.
You're absolutely right. So let's go ahead and take another caller.
All right, here we go. We got the 207. 207, what's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
How you doing?
What's going on, brother?
Not much. I'm just calling in. I wanted to say I appreciate everything you do, and wanted to just extend out that I agree with you on a lot of points as far as background checks go for weapons, and maybe even a little stricter when it comes to certain background checks. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get opinion. Now, say if something happens, say I go and go through the background check, I get myself a gun. Now, if someone in my family takes that gun and uses it, should there be stricter laws coming with onto me than there are right now?
That's a very good question. I've never even heard somebody present that question before.
You know, in sense, though, it does make sense. But being a gun owner, it is, that's your weapon. That's your responsibility.
That's
you
true.
Know, that's you. If you're not carrying on you, it should be locked up. If your family member goes in and takes your gun because you leave it out on the coffee table with your keys and your wallet, honestly, yeah, that I have to believe that. Yeah, a little bit's on you. You should have the know-how, the training, and the responsibility to know you just don't leave it laying around. Because what if your niece or your nephew came into the house and just picked it up?
And that's the problem, is you have some. I mean, that's the problem, is some people are just so ignorant to how easy it is for a child to pick up a gun and do something bad. God forbid that happens. And it takes a responsible gun owner to understand that. And, you know, maybe I'm not for trigger locks within the house, because if I have a burglar entering in and it's in the middle of the night, I don't want to have to hunt down the key and unlock. I mean, maybe it could be possible to do that for some people. But for me, I'd much rather have the pistol hidden in a high place where my kids can't access. And then, as well as, you know, maybe keeping the magazine. So there's just so many things. It comes down to the individual owner being responsible with that weapon. You know, for me, I'm not going to say where I keep my weapon. It's within arm's reach. So if I hear anything in the middle of the night, I have quick access to it. Even in the military, they taught us you don't sleep with your weapon over an arm's reach away. It's been that way since, down through time. Even with the Spartans, your spear, mainly your shield, was never out of arm's reach because of that exact reason. It needs to be, you know, accessible. So, but yeah. Well, thank you for the caller, sir. I greatly appreciate that.
Very good.
No, thank you for everything you're doing. Keep it up.
Absolutely.
Well, that brings up a good point, John, because, you know, not too long ago, I went to a range out in Pennsylvania because, you know, in New York, they're like few and far between. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I'm teaching my girlfriend how to shoot and everything like that. And, you know, these guys next to me that have this 357, no sights or anything like that. And there's, you know, it's like they're shooting, and they take like 10 minutes in between shots, and then like, oh yeah, your grouping is getting better. I'm like, dude, you're all over the place. Like, what are you talking about?
This is the hypocrisy of the whole thing. This is perpetuated by the media and people within the higher ranking structures of the media that have no idea how to utilize a firearm of any kind. Case in point, Michael Moore posts on Twitter, ammo used in AR-15/M16 is banned by Geneva Conventions. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
It enters the body, spins, and explodes. No, it doesn't. Show the crime scene photos and the NRA is over. You're absolutely wrong on that. The round does not explode. That's a mushrooming round. And if you actually knew anything about that, there's a specific round that does that. But the Geneva Convention rounds that we use do not do that. And I don't know what rounds they used in the Orlando shooting, but I'll put it this way. Michael Moore does not know what he's talking about. The man will spit nonstop, emotionally-based drivel, not supported by facts, to try and elicit an emotional response from the people of America, much less the world, to push his political agenda.
Yep.
These are the problems. And yes, you're right. Frank Gehry, he is speaking of hollow points. Or you have also some that have the X's marked in them. I've seen, you know, some people over there, they'll carve X's into the tip of bullets so that way when they hit, they mushroom. There are different rounds for different things out there, different scenarios. You have armor piercing, you've got tracers, you've got all kinds. But again, it boils down to the fact of this guy, Michael Moore, does not know what he's talking about. And just like the press, just like the media, they are trying to get a response out of you to shake you up. There's race baiters that do it in the press. There are, you know, so many people out there that even with me, post an article dealing with homosexuality, racial issues, whatever it may be, you are suddenly branded a homophobic, bigot, racist. Regardless if you have truth in what you are stating or not, they will immediately throw all these titles and labels at you. It's called character assassination. And they try to do that to take away your platform to argue from. There have been so many things in the war between Trump and Hillary that both have supposedly said that you don't know what to believe anymore. I don't even watch it anymore because I don't care. There are so many things that Hillary said. There are so many things that Trump said. And I'm not choosing a side here, but I'm using that as a point to say there's so much back and forth, and so much of it is not factually, you know, there's no data to support it. So again, it's just a matter of don't have an emotional reaction. Have a logical response. That's what I'm saying. And that's what we as a country need to do. Instead of standing up and saying, so-and-so said this, oh, we need to protest, blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, first and foremost, let's fact check. Did they actually say that? Credit the source. Where did this come from? I want to hear it from that person's mouth. When I know they said it, then I'll take it as fact and say, yes, I believe they're wrong. You know, but I've made that mistake myself from hearing what a supposed political candidate or somebody else just in life supposedly said about me or an issue that's near and dear to my heart.
Yep.
Well, so-and-so said this. Well, I never heard him say that. I'm not calling you a liar, but until I can validate that.
Here's the best one, John. Take
it as you said.
Here's the best one.
Yeah.
Guess what I heard in a Facebook group.
Real quick. Go ahead and keep talking, Dan. I'll be right back. Pardon me for 1 second. I want to prove a point here.
All right. I'll pardon you for a second, but I can't see it because your video's off. But, you know, and he's right. Is because, I mean, come on. We've all been there. How many times have people posted something or said something, guess what I heard in this Facebook group about so-and-so or whatnot? And I'm just like, are you fucking kidding me right now? It's like the worst game of telephone in the world. Yeah. And people believe the stuff that comes out. I mean, I've heard stuff about everybody in the veteran community, including myself. I'm like, really? Okay. I've never even been to that state. But you heard it in a Facebook group.
That's just the way it is. It's just hearsay. It's just, and you know, I have to watch what I say sometimes because I'll say something out of anger and then I'll be like, wait, that wasn't true. That was me just being mad at somebody. I got to take that back. But here's the point I wanted to prove, okay? First and foremost, this is a Taurus 1911 with Hollow Point magazine, okay? Foremost, pointed in the safe direction.
Hey, sexy.
Clearing the barrel. Weapon is now clear.
Talking about the gun.
They point it downwards for the most part. I mean, you can point it up. I don't recommend it. But just so you can see, the weapon is clear. Hollow point rounds for home defense. I'm placing the weapon on the desk. The weapon by itself will not kill a single person. The weapon by itself will not kill a single person. But me, as a responsible gun owner, will ensure that I have proper command and control over this weapon system. It will never, ever, you know, be tossed around and treat, you know, the first rule when training these young kids was you treat every weapon as if it were loaded. The second rule, you will never put your thumb on that trigger, or excuse me, you will never put your finger on that trigger unless you are ready to kill what is in front of you. That weapon will always remain on safe. That barrel will be down or in a safe direction at all times. That's what we teach. That is responsible gun ownership. That is why you see the military types that are very proficient with these weapon systems. That's why you see a lot of law enforcement that train with these things, are very proficient with their weapon systems. Military that go over to law enforcement, very proficient at their weapon systems. Guns kill people like spoons kill obese people. It's just the method of delivery for what the intentions are. That's all it is. So again, I believe in gun laws to an extent, such as, you know, like we talk about background checks, things like that. Where if you are a felon, if you're a criminal, no, you should not be allowed to purchase a gun. You forfeited that right. But that's just my thing. So let's go ahead and take another call.
Oh, you got it. But they can still get them.
I'm still here. Hasn't hurt a fly.
All right. You sure? I see it a little jumpy. It might jump up and get you. 254.
No, here's the thing, man. I feel when I have my weapon with me, I feel way more secure. I feel safe. I feel like, you know, I don't feel ballsy or anything. I'm going to do this because I've got a gun.
John?
I just feel like I am able to defend myself against a criminal who could have a gun as well, and they would try and steal from me or, God forbid, kill me or those I love. Listen,
one of the most dangerous things on the face of the planet is your vehicle. And you know what? When you're in your vehicle, you feel safe and secure, do you not? Can somebody turn that vehicle into a killing machine? Yes, they can. It comes down to the individual.
You are not absolutely the way right. They it comes do down it. To the individual, and the individual should be held accountable rather than the entire community. You know, when the soldier in Afghanistan went out there and murdered 16 civilians, you can't blame the army for that. You have to blame the individual soldier. He committed the act of violence. He committed the murder. He himself should be held accountable. That's all there is to it. So, but instead, we don't want to do that. Will that 1911 bruise your shoulder, Daryl Scott?
That's a good one. That wins the internet tonight. God. That wins the internet tonight.
I'm sorry. I can't take that guy seriously. You talk about just what feminism has done to men these days. And that's God forbid we ever got invaded. Would you ever trust somebody like him to pick up a rifle and defend this nation's shores from the enemy that are here with it, you know, that would want to invade her? God forbid they're here right now. What do you think that man would do? He would run away and run to a legal gun owner, like, please protect me. And I'd look at him and be like, look, you got a man up, dude.
Yeah.
That's such a sexist thing to say. Don't say that.
John. This is why, like, that's the first person, if there ever was, like, a purge, he'd be, like, hiding behind everybody. He'd be like, get him.
I was watching The Conjuring 2 last night, or not last night, the other night with Ashley, and I guess there's a purge called Political Season, or it's a new movie coming out. It's called Purge 2, Political Campaign, just something along those lines. And I'm sitting here looking at this movie, and I'm just like, you know. Oh, I don't know. Listen, is it a bad idea?
Listen, if you don't think you can survive during the purge, you're a bitch.
Oh, man. I sat there. I was like, Of course, people are going to take that. And if God forbid the press gets all John's, you know, all for the purge. It's like, well, you know what? You're right. Yeah. I believe it should be CNN versus Fox.
The station will get the messages tomorrow.
The purge starts. Let's take all news media and agencies out there. And let's, for one night, it's like, let's let them go at it. Let's let all, it's going to be like from, Ron Burgundy. Just like with all the news agencies meet in the center and they have like the grenade and stuff. Like, let the media just go after it, go at each other, and whoever's left standing.
And here goes Team CNN with the water pistols.
They use for weapons. They're all, you know, anti-guns. They probably just like throw mean sayings at each other and then run to their safe spaces because they got triggered.
Super soakers that will bleach their pink button-down shirts and their ties.
I want Megyn Kelly to go at it with Anderson Cooper. I want it just raw, freaking WWE style, off the top rope, elbow dropping Megyn Kelly to Anderson Cooper's throat.
Yes,
I want to see what they're truly made of.
In white
t-shirts
with Super Soakers
SmackDown.
Yes, that should happen.
That should happen.
We got the 254 has been very quiet on the line with us right now.
My bad. Sorry.
No, you're good. No, I was commending you.
Is that Fort Hood?
You were very quiet.
Well, it used to be. I live in Fort Benning now, but...
Okay.
I kept my number.
Okay. What's up, man? Who is this?
My name's Daniel.
What's up, Daniel?
I'm all right. How you doing?
I can't complain, bro. What can I do for you?
All right. I've been, ever since this whole thing in Orlando happened, it's one thing that nobody wants to say, and nobody wants to acknowledge, especially not the media, especially not the president, is the fact that we're at war. We have been at war for a long time, mm-hmm. and nobody wants to admit it. we're at war, and that war has come home to our soil. Yep. And it should have been, Orlando should have made it painfully obvious that war's come home to our soil. But they don't want, I don't know why everybody wants to be in denial. I know people that say that ISIS is just taking credit, but it's just some guy, it was just a hate crime. Like, no. I've spent a lot of the last 15 years that I've spent in the military studying old guerrilla warfare. One of my favorite books actually is called The War of the Flea. That's a classical study of guerrilla warfare. And this is a page right out of the guerrilla warfare handbook. That everything, when it comes to guerrilla warfare, everything depends on their ability to conduct a political campaign. They have to be able to intimidate the populace. They have to manipulate the political climate, and they'll do it by any means necessary. And they know one of the biggest, you know, they're not stupid. Yeah. Their fighters are stupid, but they're not stupid.
You're right, and I hate
and
to
they
make
know,
that. You're right, and I hate
they
the,
know that, I'm sorry.
I hate to make this point of, is people have short memories, and they seem to forget that this war was started on our soil on 9/11, and those people were here for a long time beforehand.
You know, it.
They know
you make very good points. You're absolutely right. I don't think society understands like the whole ideology behind psychological warfare. You know, political campaigns, IO campaign victories, propaganda machines. That stuff plays a crucial role, and if you really wanted to take it to modern day settings, it would be the media, hands down. The media is the biggest propaganda machine that we have in this country that will push a certain bias. And the sad thing is, the media right now, in my opinion, is not for America. It's not for the benefits of America or freedom practicing Americans. But thank you for your call, man. I really appreciate. We got to get to more callers, but you're absolutely right. And thank you for that. And above all, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
No problem.
Have a good day.
You too, man.
Good night, I should say.
I got you.
All right.
Who do we got next, Dan? I mean, he makes a very good point.
They come in droves and then they stop. So give us a call, 516-740-1070. And just like that, here we go. We got the 360, welcome to Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's going on? Who are we talking to?
His name's Chris.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, man. You know, so I'm loving your conversation on the rules on gun laws. But, you know, I got a question for you. It seems like, you know, the American public is either extreme, you know, left or the extreme right, right? I mean, turn the media on like you were talking about earlier. You have a conversation with friends or family. I mean, shit, even other service members that I talk to, they're either, you know, they watch too much Fox News or too much CNN, right? So my question for you is, as a gun owner, a responsible gun owner, yourself, someone has a concealed carry permit, active duty military, on recruiting duty, I'm not going to say where because I carry every day,
right?
Because of the situation, do you think that as responsible gun owners, we have a responsibility to kind of talk about that middle ground more than the extreme left and the extreme right?
Absolutely.
And caveat,
yes.
If we did have conversations, right, would people be more concerned about passing sensible legislation, right? So as a you know, gun enthusiast, someone who's been in the military for 12 years, someone who carries a weapon every day, I don't understand things like, you know, background checks are such a big political issue. I mean, it just makes common sense, right? You can't military carry a weapon.
Because it boils down to the act of somebody will use that as a tool to attack the fact that it is no longer promoting freedom. But here's the problem many people fail to understand. You are free to an extent. You do not have the freedom to go out and murder somebody. So when I say that, I also mean by freedom is practiced and it's earned. Freedom is not free. And I don't mean that in the sense of we are going to, you know, soldiers, you know, and military sacrificing their lives for your freedom. Freedom is practiced by every single card-carrying American. Now, how do I mean that? I mean that when you go through TSA checkpoints, you will be searched. Why? To ensure the safety of the plane. That is sacrificing a little bit of freedom. That's how it's paid for. A responsible gun ownership, the background checks, that's part of it. So people seem to be under this impression that I should be able to do whatever I want to do. Technically, we don't live in that free of a country, if you really think about it. But the freedoms we do have are wonderful. You cannot, you know, drive down the road and go as fast as you want. You have to obey the law. There are laws set in place. Why? To ensure that we have the human balance in a, to an extent, to a degree. So when someone wants to sit there and argue that a background check challenges their freedom to buy a gun, no, your past actions of being a criminal violate or basically constrict your ability to buy a gun. That's you. The law, you know, for me, the law should be along the lines of, as long as you have not committed any felonies, you know, and like I said, I know it's like by a case-by-case basis, but if you've broken the law, you violated the law, you violate, you basically sacrificed your right to own a firearm.
Right, so I guess kind of my question would be that if, you know, since you're obviously a responsible gun owner because that gun hasn't jumped up off your desk and shot anybody yet, as well, right. Mine hasn't, how do we get, you know, the mass population, right, the most of the Americans that are in the center, you know, as far as their viewpoints go on background checks, to influence their legislators, their congressmen, their senators, to start passing these kind of common sense gun laws where we understand that we're not free to buy nuclear weapons, but at the same time, we're free enough to have the right to bear arms as our Constitution permits us to. So how do we, people like you, right, that has a following, that has people who, you know, look at your Snapchats and watch your Facebook Live videos, how do these... this middle America portion, right? Because I think we're at a big turning point where people, unfortunately, sometimes are starting to get their information not from necessarily CNN or from Fox, but they're starting to turn to their local community as far as the social network goes, right? And they're looking at their influencers, and you fall into that influencer category, you know, looking at your Facebook following tonight of, say, whatever, 800 viewers on average you're following right now. Mm-hmm. How do you or we who have influence within our communities that aren't extreme left, extreme right, or doing what we're doing for a profit, start to influence the general population and talking to their legislators and saying, listen, I don't care where you get your money from. I don't care whether you're a D or a X. These are the common sense legislation that the average American wants you to pass. How do we start that conversation?
I would say, and that's
how do we take the power out of the mass media hands?
John, you go first. I got a good point on this, too.
No, Dan, you've been quiet, man. Take it. Go ahead. All right.
And I'm going to say this because I have seen people and veterans, not only veterans, celebrities and stuff like that, that have the huge followings and have learned the lessons the hard way. They have a sense of responsibility. John has a huge sense of responsibility that sometimes, you know, when he posts something, normally it's legit. You know, some... don't and they'll go back and retract a statement or this and that, but it's a sense of responsibility. If you have a following on Facebook or Twitter, social media, it's a powerful tool and it could be used for good and evil, and I've seen it on both hands. And John, you know where I'm going with this. So yeah. John is one of the people that I know that uses his reach and his I hate the word, I don't use fan, I use supporters. And he puts out the messages that he puts out, but he knows damn well what he's doing. And he knows that sense of responsibility to where he wants to help people, not hurt people. And there are some people, some entities and some pages out there that are all about that almighty fucking dollar. And I can name them off, but I'm not going to do it. But there people like John, the people on this station that have the huge followings, know that. And they know that they can say, hey, you know what? The sky's red today. And people are fucking, I'm sorry to say this way, people will say, yeah, yo, shit, yeah, the sky does look red today. No, it's not. It's still blue, the way it always has been.
I think America has become so focused on people that are out of touch with reality. I think that the veteran community has such a powerful voice that I honestly think that we don't understand the actual amount of power we have via social media. And to answer your question, brother, is this. To get the message out there, to start these conversations, to start these talks of common sense, responsible gun ownership, to almost the point where it's, you know, in your middle ground, middle of the aisle, it's doing what we're doing right now. It's every share, every like, every comment left, basically helps open up a dialogue for all people. But we have to also preach the message of look at things with an open mind to an extent. When it doesn't challenge, you know, your mind, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you really thinking? If you keep your principles, your ideologies, your beliefs within a small box and you refuse to budge, you know, to a degree, everything with checks and balances, you've become very narrow-minded. But if you do have a belief and you've thought about it from all aspects, you've looked at it from the left, the right, the top, the bottom, the front, and the back, and you still come to the basic conclusion that the way you see it is either, you know, the most accurate and honest to you as an individual, then by all means stick to your belief. But I do believe that the problem we face in this country right now is that we have so many people spinning these lies. Like I said, I saw it in the army, I see it in civilian society, I see it in the government. A good leader, when it's not called for, should never make a knee-jerk reaction. They should say stop. You know, the biggest thing that we were taught, that a friend of mine, Matthew Vincent, taught us in combat, and it took me a long time to learn, was do not immediately react. Keep calm under fire, and then, you know, fear breeds panic, panic breeds mistakes, mistakes breed death. Keep calm and keep a clear, level head, and that's what I would preach to the civilian society. It's like, look, when you look at this stuff, open your eyes. The media is lying to you. Celebrities are lying to you. The most honest individuals that I have ever known or been around have been veterans, law enforcement, public servants that have been out there, your everyday Jane and Joe, that have nothing to gain or profit by lying to you. And, you know, I will sit there and tell people, yes, my business is through social media. I have my website, my fitness website. I have my clothing line. Social media is my business, but I also utilize this platform to do my best to help people, to try and wake people up and make them see things that, you know, other people are not promoting. I am very anti-body love in the sense of, you know, the obesity crisis we're dealing with. It's just the way I look at things, you know. And when someone tries to tell me, John, you should limit yourself to doing just this, or just, I, you know, some people say, I used to love your page when it was nothing but fitness. Well, my page still is fitness to an extent. But why be constricted when I feel like I've got a message I want to put out there? I love doing funny videos, which I'm actually going to do more of in the future.
Yes,
I enjoy it. But I also enjoy things like this. We are taking Facebook Live, which this video could garnish anywhere from 35 to a million views. You just don't know. But it's getting a belief. It's getting a narrative out there. It's hopefully maybe somebody will listen to this and maybe it will influence them enough, maybe not to agree with me, but to open up their mind enough to actually take a step back and put aside the political ideologies and see something with a clear, unbiased mind and say, wait a minute. And that's all my goal is to make people, number one, believe in themselves, be honest and truthful and anti-politically correct, because I feel like being politically correct is what's killing this country. It's what's destroying us from the inside. But those are just my beliefs, my opinion. You know, I will never sit there and claim to say I know everything. I know what. No, it's not, I have had to retract some things that I've said because the Obama apology tour one that I posted a video on, it caused, that video was going to go viral, mm-hmm. and it got a lot of support. But the problem was people were so angry. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's not what I want to be about. Instead, I would rather, instead of bring a video based off of an emotional thing, bring it with a common sense type of approach. And it's difficult for me sometimes, man. I won't lie. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to sit there and say, you know, I know it all on every single issue. I vocalize my opinion, which is every American's. It should be every human being's right to say what they think, to say what they feel. That's your human right. But again, that's just what I want to use my platform for. I don't want to be just an entertainer. I would much rather, when I die, be known as John Burke. He was the fitness motivator guy who had an opinion on virtually everything. But he, you know, I would want to be known as fair. You know, I should be called Fox News, fair and balanced, to an extent. But again, it's like, why constrict yourself to just one thing? I see people in the fitness world, that's all they do. It's like, good, that's your profession. I love the fitness thing. I do fitness. I do personal training online. I do motivational speeches. I do speaking engagements. It's like, look, why limit yourself? Why not see what else you're good at? If you can be good at a million different things, be good at a million different things. Don't limit yourself to just one thing. Mm-hmm. I think and this is me just going off on a tangent real quick, I believe that we are all gifted with something. I believe that everyone has the ability to be great at something, or maybe sometimes some things. But when we limit ourselves due to the negative opinions of others that would try and limit you from reaching your maximum potential, some people, I think, will die without fully realizing just what they are truly capable of. And I mean that. And I'm sitting here saying I am an example. I have almost 300,000 people that follow me right now. That is a very powerful platform. Never in my life would I ever imagined anyone would give a crap what I had to say. John's just for fitness. John's just for that. Some videos, I've received messages saying, John, your inspiration has kept me from killing myself. You have, you know, it's you have the ability to reach people sometimes. And I think that is my gift. I believe it is my calling. It's not just in fitness. And now I'm trying to push it to the business world. But again, the point being is, don't doubt yourself for a second. Truly believe in yourself. And don't listen to the opinions of the critics out there. That's why I preach in the arena. You are either in the arena fighting day after day, challenging yourself, bettering yourself, or you're the person in the critic or in the bleachers who is never going to do anything noteworthy in your life. What will you be remembered for? What's your legacy? That's just my belief.
Good point.
But we have any more calls?
We do. We got the 916.
Go ahead and take some more calls.
916, what's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
What's going on, man? Who are we talking to?
My name's William McGregor from Sacramento, California.
Awesome. What's going on, man?
I just had a couple questions in regards to, I'll be straight up. I'm kind of biased against the government itself.
Okay.
And I was wondering, coming from your guys' opinion and your guys' military background, what you guys would think on the chances of the government really turning on its own people. And your opinion on who and how many of the military officials would actually back the government on their decision if that would happen. And do you think that correlates with why they wouldn't let military officials carry on American soil?
We're getting into some like tinfoil hat J-Helm stuff here.
Well, not really. If you think about it, if the government ever did decide to disarm the populace, who would carry out those orders?
Yeah.
It would be law enforcement and it would be military.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a distinct possibility. Look, we live in a time where we seem to blind ourselves from our past. Those who forget history are truly doomed to repeat it. General populaces in the past have been disarmed by dictatorships. Why? Because it leaves the people powerless, and the government can now, you know, basically reach out and bend the wills of the people because they possess the guns. To go back to the main point of this, if the government, if Obama is so anti-gun, please ask me this. Why is he surrounded by them with his personal security detachment?
Yeah, that's where...
If he wants to truly ban guns, or maybe not all guns, but certain guns, I don't want to go to an extreme with that. But put it this way, if most politicians want to ban firearms, you need to lead by example and tell your security teams to start carrying knives and spoons and not guns. Lead by example. But yeah. You do bring up a point that, you know, I had to ask myself at one point too, when I was still serving. Me as a soldier, would I ever carry out the orders of those above me to disarm the local populace? And my answer to that would be no, I would not. That violates the Second Amendment, and I believe it goes against our rights. I will never, never coincide with those that give unlawful orders. And to me, that is an unlawful order.
It is, and that's why I didn't mean to, you know, the whole to offend
anybody
with that.
But no, but the thing is, you're not wrong. It does seem extreme, but the thing is, we can go from extreme to reality in a matter of a day.
Yeah, that's true.
And that's the shocking thing about it. All it takes is one day, one incident, and suddenly the impossible becomes the impossible, and people aren't ready for it, and that's how the government works. It's how, oh my God, the government has been doing it time and time again. Bring up one issue to basically take another issue and sweep it under the rug. They've been known to do it time and time again. So that's why we have to sit there and use a you know, see things through clear eyes and understand what's going on right in front of us? So, that's a very good question.
Yeah, the spork topic has come up in the chat room on Vetteress. And yeah, oh, yeah? I will shank a motherfucker with a spork if it comes down to it. That's just my opinion on sporks.
It's just one of those things that, you know, if we don't have access to a gun, guess what? I'm going to get a knife. If I am a murderer, if I'm a criminal, and I want to go out and rob somebody, and I don't have access to a gun, I am going to find a way to do it.
It's happening right here in New York, John. It's right here in New York. It's the strictest gun laws in the nation. And what's happening in New York? There's a rash of slashings all over New York, in the subways and everything.
Does it really surprise you? I mean, it's kind of like saying if we get rid of guns, some people honestly believe this. If we get rid of guns, gun violence will stop. I disagree.
No, it won't. You can have every strict regulation on the face of the planet. You can make it so you have to give like super DNA, whatever, to get a gun. Guess what? The drug dealer down the street is still going to get one and still going to have one and still going to find the way to get more. Why?
The criminal will get their hands on the illegal weapon, drug, whatever. That's the problem. I mean, 9/11 happened at the hands of box cutters. With criminal intent, it's criminal intent. But people don't see that. Instead, they want to attack the tool and not the person accountable. That's what I'm surprised people, and this is such a horrible thing to have to say, but I'm surprised people haven't been anti-box cutter since 9/11 happened. Why didn't they attack the method of which they, you know, basically, I don't even want to go into that. I shouldn't even talk about that. That's disrespectful to the memories. But you get what I'm driving at.
Are you starting a pull tab business for boxes that we don't know about to where people don't need box cutters anymore? Is this where this is going?
Yeah.
No,
let's take another call.
That's the next thing. All right, here we go. We got the 646. What's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, this is Tim.
Hi, Tim.
What's up, Tim?
Hey, what's going on? Basically, I tried to get in touch with that cuntsman, because I have a friend that works at the Daily News. He ain't even trying to talk to anybody.
Who is this? who are you trying to get in contact with?
When that reporter from the Daily News.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
he pulled that bullshit. I know a reporter in the Daily News called him up and was trying to get in touch with that cunt, and he ain't want to even talk.
Oh, of course not. You seal yourself off from, you know, it's kind of like one of those. I'm going to say something, then I'm going to cover my eyes and ears and not have to listen to anybody. It's a typical reaction from those types. Rather than listen to a logical counter argument, they instead fling poop and then, you know, cross their arms and stamp their feet and throw a temper tantrum and say, I'm not wrong. You're wrong, and here's why. But they don't do that, man. They don't listen to that kind of stuff. Logic, they go based off emotion and not logic.
Yep.
So,
and here's exactly what he did. Was the most of the nation had a stance on something. He went against it. And what did he do? He made a name for himself.
Yep.
He did.
Go ahead and take another call.
All right, 256. 256, what's up? You're on with Fire for Effect Radio.
Hey, my name's Charles. I'm one of the soldiers up at Fort Stewart. I was just calling in to give my thoughts a little bit on the shooting that happened in Orlando.
Go right ahead.
I find it funny how, you know, all of this is going down, all these mass shootings that have been happening in the past several years or so, they have been increasing ever since the Obama administration is taking over, and no one could deny that. However, it's a terrible thing. I think, you know, a little bit of our humanity every time something like this happens gets a little stripped away, because the media wants to attack something immediately instead of trying to remember the memories of the people that died in this terrible tragedy. And let's call it what it is. This was a hate crime. This is what this was.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think it was a hate crime mixed with an act of terrorism due to religious ideologies?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
Hmm.
And, no, go ahead. And nobody wants to call it that.
Right.
Everyone wants to dance around the issue. It's not radical Islamism. It's not. It's not a hate crime. It's a gun problem. And we've already covered that. the gun's going to stay where it is. It's not going to do anything. But we want to shy away from the fact that this is radical Islamism. And I love my Muslim friends. I got my friend Ranjit. He's a Muslim guy. We're great friends. But you know, even he'll say, yes, there is a part of our sect that is poisonous.
Yeah.
And just like me, I'm a Christian. I will look and see that, yes, there are parts of Christianity, like, not as, you know, a whole in our religion. There is there's the KKK, of course,
yeah,
which started off as, you know, true Christian. But, you know, no one's going to claim that. But no one wants to use the language radical this or radical that, because everyone's too PC and no one wants to offend anybody anymore. And it's poisonous. And that's my thoughts on it.
That's why I'm so against being politically correct, man. It serves no purpose. The truth is ignored, and it goes down to, you know, arguments based off of emotion rather than logic. That's the problem. You know, you see it time and time again with every single issue that we have out there in regards to the media or those that are usually against something. Like I told you, I watched the Milo guy, and I can never say his last name right. But you talk about so many people apologizing, the colleges apologizing to the student body of him even coming to speak because they feel like they, you know, this is why feminism has ruined this country. Now you have men that are no longer viewed or no longer encouraged to act like men,
mm-hmm.
to act like those that have things called testicles. That stand up and fight for what they believe in. Physically fight if they have to. Now we have a generation of safe space trigger warning types that would much rather protest and hold signs and complain and whine and cry rather than actually nut up and go out there and fight for what they believe in. You know, it's the fact that if a World War II happened in today's modern age, I don't believe America would win. And this isn't me trying to attack, you know, those that are not masculine. But when you take it to the point of saying that you had a temporary bout of PTSD due to you firing a weapon, seriously, you disgust me with your weakness. You are literally doing it with you're intentionally being mentally weak to prove a point.
Yeah.
If your little cupcake shoulder gets bruised from firing a very low recoil M16 or AR-15, and then you want to say that the shell casings, you know, distracted you, the smell of sulfur made you feel like it was just you were in a gunfight or it was the sound of a bomb, be thankful for your freedom, because real men were able to pick up the rifles regardless of their sexuality and defend your right to act like a bitch. There, I cussed. Screw it.
John,
it was worth it.
You could say it. When I was 12 years old, after 2 years of shooting a .22 in the Boy Scouts, they brought in some of the Army, and they let us shoot an M16 at 12 years old down in the rifle range. It did not hurt my shoulder. The smell of sulfur did not overtake me. The shell casings did not fly past my face. And caused me alarm. I did not have temporary PTSD at 12 years old in the Boy Scouts.
My 8-year-old son has shot my 1911. My 8-year-old son has shot my 1911. What does that say about you, a grown man, an adult, that would sit there and say something so just... I shouldn't even say feminine, because... My girlfriend, who's in the Air Force, shoots weapons. That's an insult to women, honestly. You are in this. You are in your own stage of, I don't even know what to call you. You are... What do you call that? I mean, seriously.
I just call him a bitch.
You're a bitch. You are a bitch. But it is mind-boggling. Just the things some people say. So... But with that being said, let's go ahead and end it here.
Okay.
Let's go ahead and go. I don't want to go too long because then people start to get bored. But again, let me plug things real quick. InTheArenaFitness.com for all your fitness needs, for motivation. Go check it out for only $7.99 a month. You'll have access to a slew of videos, wonderful exercise videos, and a lot more coming soon. So please, go check out InTheArenaFitness.com. If you want to check out In The Arena Apparel, click on the store tab. A lot of shirts, a lot of great things out there, coming out with some new stuff in the near future. Check it out. And I want to say thank you to all the supporters of the show. Dan, thank you for all the work that you do. If you want to see this episode, you can see it on the Facebook page that I have, John Burke, or you can go to Fire for Effect on iTunes, and it's under the podcast section. And again, I love having this show to discuss things in an intelligent manner, to bring to light issues that need to be talked about with an unbiased opinion to a degree. I am biased to an extent towards my Second Amendment right. So, but yes, again, thank you all for that. And I just wanted to end it with this. For 45 minutes, this weapon has not shot a single person. It is laid on this desk as I intended for it to do. It is not harmed or killed or maimed or even pistol whipped any single person. If this 1911 triggers you, trigger, no pun intended. If this triggers you, you're an idiot. Seriously, you are a politically correct moron. So, with that being said, everyone have a wonderful night. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for all the love and support. So again, last time, check out InTheArenaFitness.com. Check out the clothing line. I'm probably going to come out with some kind of shirt in regards to banning these guns. Ooh. So, any last shots, Dan?
Yes. John, thank you for being a part of the station and voicing your opinion on multiple platforms, Facebook, radio, live feeds, everything like that, because I know I enjoy it.
And if you absolutely, then it's been a blast. So we don't know what next show is going to be about. Who knows? But we'll see when we get there. We'd love to get to talk about it. So again, thank you all for tuning in. If you really want to support me, go check out InTheArenaFitness.com. Like and share this video. I got a friend of mine, Tank Machine, former Marine. Well, no such thing as a former Marine. Marine Corps vet coming down this weekend. We are going to shoot the most hilarious video you've ever seen. Awesome. And while we're on the feelings, the thing of touchy-feely, I don't hate people, but I do believe in speaking the truth. That will hurt feelings. I'm saying that in itself will hurt feelings. I get my feelings hurt sometimes, but it helps us to basically keep an open mind on things. And that's all I ask, for people to keep an open mind. Don't have a knee-jerk reaction. Believe in yourself and do whatever the hell makes you happy, man. And don't listen to the negatives. Don't listen to the critics.
Awesome.
So, In The Arena. Play us off, Dan.
We're playing it off.
This is John Burke, Army veteran of 13 years and combat veteran of Iraq and Afghanistan. For a very long time, I saw soldiers doing physical fitness the incorrect way. So, once after having left the service, I decided to set out on my own journey and open up my own website, InTheArenaFitness.com. On this website, I offer you drill sergeant-style motivation. No, it's not for the weak or faint of heart, but it is for those that are tired of procrastinating and making excuses. On the website, I offer you numerous videos on how to exercise in a safe manner, articles written on diet and nutrition which dispel many of the fitness world's myths that we currently have. If motivation is what you need, that's what I'm here to provide. I won't sugarcoat anything. I will tell you what you need to hear, not what you want to hear. You can choose to sit on the couch and watch Netflix, which you subscribe to for $7.99 per month, or you can subscribe to my website for the exact same price, and I will teach you everything you need to know on how to exercise and eat healthy. The choice is yours. Take action now. Don't procrastinate. Don't say I'm going to put it off for tomorrow, because before you know it, years will have gone by, and you'll turn around looking back asking yourself what happened. Once again, the website is InTheArenaFitness.com. My name is John Burke, and thank you for listening to Soldiers Without Borders Radio. Let's get it off.